Father God, as we pause on this Memorial Day weekend, God, we pause to thank you for the men and women who serve this great nation. Father, for those in the past who have given their lives so that we could have the freedoms that we have this morning. God, I thank you for them, unless we should forget. Father, may we be reminded this morning of the importance of what King David says to us in Psalm chapter 20. And God, I pray that as we look at this passage this morning, that we can glean from it something that we can take and apply to our daily lives each day. Father, bless all of our church family wherever they are. Keep them safe. Thank you for those that are listening this morning. Father, for those that are sick, we pray for them. Father, we pray for those that mourn that they would be comforted. And Father, I pray that you would help each one of us this morning to hear what you would speak to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I don't know if any of you have seen the Chisholm Trail Shopper, but they called the other day and asked, would I like to put a ad in about Memorial Day weekend from the church? And I said, yes, I would. And so in that article I wrote there, or on that ad, we salute all the men and women who are presently serving and have served this great nation in the United States Armed Forces. And we honor all of those who have given their lives for the cost of freedom. May we never forget these heroes of America, and may God bless America. Amen. You believe that this morning? Let me tell you, we are living in some interesting times. This morning in the book of Psalm chapter 20, King David is writing. He said, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offering acceptable. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all of your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord, may the King answer us in the day that we call." Today is Memorial Day weekend, and it doesn't mean what it once did, unfortunately, in the hearts and lives of Americans. Memorial Day has come to just be another one of those Monday holiday weekends. It marks the beginning where school has ended, summer is beginning, the pools are open, the snow cone machines are out there, the lakes are filled with people. People are vacationing in various places, and that will go on for the next 3 months. It provides a great chance for families to come together for picnics or grilling or maybe an outing on the lake. It also provides for great golf tournaments and great golf games. I want to share a joke with you. Now, if you are blonde, as I am, please listen carefully. Okay, to all of us blondes, please listen carefully to this joke. A pastor decided one Sunday morning he would just skip church. He wanted to go play golf. And so he called his assistant and said, "I won't be there today. I'm not feeling well at all, and will you fill in for me?" And so the pastor took his golf clubs. He got in his car. He went into another city so that no one would know who he was. He got up to tee off the very first hole, and he hit the ball, and a great gust of wind came and picked up that ball and took it another 100 feet out there away and dropped it right down into the hole. Some 450-yard drop right into a hole-in-one. an angel looked over at God and said, "What'd you do that for?" And God said, "Who's he going to tell?" Thank you to John Leffler. He sent me that a few weeks ago, and I thought this is the appropriate Sunday to use that since we're talking about golfing and picnicking and Memorial Day weekend and all of these various things. Well, Memorial Day grew out of the human need to remember where we have been as a nation. You see, if we can see where we've been, perhaps we can see where we need to be headed. All kinds of things pop up into our minds. I entitled this sermon, Moments to Remember. The moments that one generation passes off to another generation. All of this was on the mind of President Abraham Lincoln on November the 19th. The year was 1863. He was making his way to Pennsylvania to the battlefield. Lincoln feared at that moment that he would be the last president of the United States, and the nation of America was tottering on the brink of self-destruction. The ceremony that afternoon would dedicate the site of the cemetery where over 40,000 soldiers that were killed at Gettysburg in that three-day battle the previous July. Lincoln's remarks provided the bedrock for what would become Memorial Day. He started off with that famous 67 years ago our fathers brought forth on this continent, a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. It would only take two more minutes for him to finish his speech. He said, "The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It's for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought have thus far so nobly advanced. It's rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we were highly resolved, that we here highly resolved that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth." Memorial Day weekend is unique to America. It really should be more than a holiday because it represents those brave men and women who have given of themselves so that you and I could be here this morning sitting comfortably worshiping God as we please. In the book of Psalm chapter 24 this morning, that is a prayer before the battle was to begin against the enemy of Israel. And then the next chapter is a praise after that victory. As David wrote this psalm, he's picturing God's people. They're praying and rejoicing in victory of God's people. This psalm is a psalm of rejoicing. It's a time of remembering. It's a time to remember and to remind us of our might as a nation, that we have been so blessed by the hand of Almighty God, and for the Christian's hope of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to leave us with three thoughts that we need to remember, moments to remember. Number one, remember where to turn. Remember where to turn. Now, all of us here this morning face great difficulties. We face great challenges that come our way. I don't know about you, but I face great challenges in my life every single day. And I don't know how many of you love to hear a word of encouragement, but you know, sometimes we forget that the preacher needs to be encouraged. This past week, I received a thank you note through the mail from Cade Baldwin. He just graduated from the University of Oklahoma with his doctorate in the medical field. Cade wrote me a note. It was a note that came on a day that I needed encouragement. It was a note that said, thank you for the gift. And in that note, these were his words. I hope that I can be a servant for people as I've watched you be the servant that you've been. Now, folks, I want you to know that lifted my spirit. To think that somebody cared enough to even write a note and say, I want to be a servant in medicine to people like I've watched you be a servant in your life. All of us face challenging times. All of us face times of discouragement. And there are no doubts that problems are a part of the human experience of life. But when you and I face problems in life, where do we turn? What do? Where do we go? You see, David says, turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Trust in the Lord, even when you don't want to trust him. Trust in the Lord. You see, the people were praying that God would answer King David's prayer and that they would lift him up above the enemy that was coming against them. And it says the God of Jacob there, this familiar title for the Lord, and it suggests that God is working on behalf of those that are weak or in special need. And that word may is used some seven times in chapter 20 of the book of Psalm. The people are praying for their king. Not only were the lives of the king and his army involved, but so also was the glory and the praise to go to Almighty God. And as the people expected this confrontation with this foreign enemy out there, they turned to the Lord and they trusted in the Lord. And when you and I are faced with doubts and struggles, when we are faced with the uncertainties of life, when you turn to him, he's always there to receive us. Don't you think that America needs to turn to God this morning? Let me tell you, if there ever was a time, this nation in the 21st century and what is being termed as a post-Christian period in American history, if there ever was a time we need to turn to God. Many years ago, Kate Smith was a great famous American singer. She introduced that song, God Bless America, Land That I Love, Stand Beside Me, Side Her and Guide Her Through the Night. With a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. In newer times, Lee Greenwood would pen the song, God Bless the USA. You see, there's something about songs like that that just electrifies the nation. And I want you to know it's in times like these, we desperately need the blessings of Almighty God upon this nation. If America is going to survive in the future, then our attention is going to have to be focused back on God who created America, who created the heavens and the earth. He's the giver. And let me tell you, he can easily take it away if he chooses to do so. Let me tell you, when you read all of the polls that are being out there, all of the surveys that are being done across America, I can assure you, America spiritually is not where America needs to be. America is in a very dark place right now. We're going the way of Europe. When all of the big cathedrals were built and they were filled to capacity with people throughout the ages, and it seems that all of that is swept across the pond, and it's in happening all over America in churches everywhere. 400 plus Baptist churches closed their doors last year. 457,000 people left the Southern Baptist denomination. And that's just one denomination. There are problems out there everywhere. Let me tell you, the psalmist said in the 33rd Psalm in verse 12, blessed is the nation. That word blessed means happy. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. And when you and I in this nation, let me tell you, when we get on God's side, not God getting on our side, let me tell you, when we get on God's side, we can be assured of His future hand upon this nation in the days to come. What do we do? Where do we go? We need to remember who to turn to. First of all, secondly, David teaches us this morning how to trust. Remember how to trust. If we're honest, the truth is it's really easy to trust in our own abilities. Have you noticed that? It's easy to trust in our own abilities. I mean, it's easy to trust in your own talent. You know, most people love to believe their own press reports. I learned a long time ago that's a bad place to camp. But folks, let me tell you, most of us trust in our own abilities. Let me tell you, you wouldn't have it if God didn't give it to you. You wouldn't have the ability, I wouldn't have the ability, had it not been for God who entrusts within the hearts of each one of us. You would not be able to do the things that you do had God not given you what you have to do with. Remember, moments to remember. Who do I turn to in troubled times? Young people, you can always turn to Jesus. Now you may say, well, I pray and I pray and I pray and my prayer is not answered. No, it's not that. It's just that God has something in His perfect sovereign plan. He may say yes, He may say no, or He may say wait a while. But God knows, God hears. And let me tell you, the reason most people get mad and angry at God is because we can't control God. You see, God, if you don't answer my prayer, then I don't like you near as much as I used to. I mean, God, if you don't do what I want you to do based upon my lack of human understanding, then I'm just going to walk away from you, God, and just forget all about you. Hold on. He's the one that built the heavens. He's the one that flung the orbits out there and the galaxies and the stars and the moon and the sun into space and hung them on nothing. He's the one who created the earth. He's the one who created you and me. And even though we, the created, sometimes find ourselves in conflict with the Creator, let me tell you, I've learned in my life that God is God. And God is going to do what God knows is what is right and what is faithful. He's a good God. You may not think so, but I want you to know He's a good God. He's an awesome God. And even though I've prayed hundreds of prayers, I've never gotten answered. I'm praying some right now. I've not gotten answered. But I'm not going to give up on Him, because if I give up on Him, where do I go? Who are you going to go to if you give up on Him? There's no one else to go to. There's no one else that you can turn to who is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He's all-understanding. You see, from my limited earthly point of view, there are lots of things I don't understand. There are lots of things every day I just have to say, God, I'm leaving it in your hands. I still don't understand it. Probably never will understand it this side of heaven, but you are God. You're the creator. You're the potter. I'm the clay. So God, I will trust even when that's not what I want to do. You see, God, if I can just turn the screws a little tighter, God, maybe you will answer this prayer for me, or maybe you will do something for me that I need in my life. See, God didn't always do what you and I expect, what you and I wanting to do. And a lot of people get angry and they get mad and they walk away from God. And I'm not so sure that that's not one of the reasons that faith is declining in America. You see, we Americans, we've always been in the land of the free and the home of the brave, even though there have been wars and fightings, and certainly the Civil War was a horrible, horrible war that ended lives. But let me tell you, we here in America are not fighting to serve God openly like those people in China and those people in North Korea this morning, and those people that are out there in lands where they cannot serve God freely. All the time, somewhere in this world, people are dying because of their faith. David is saying, trust, 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 trust. Who will you trust? David is saying, trust in this psalm. We can trust in God. I love that hymn, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I serve you o'er and o'er, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace, oh for grace, oh for grace, to trust you more. Have you given up on life? Have you given up on answered prayers? Have you come to the end of your rope? Are you just out there in the world and you're on the sea of life and your little boat is going into the highways, waves, and you're struggling and you're looking around and you feel that you're going under? When I think I'm going under, calm the waters, Lord. Let me tell you, a lot of people are going under today. Let me tell you, in Romans 8, verse 31, Paul said, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? America, if God is for us, then who can be against us? It's one thing for America to build our armaments and all of the weaponry and all of the things that we have. But it's another thing to trust in God with all of these things and to know that God is the one who will fight for us if we are on His side. And let me tell you, when America has moved so far away, and as I've watched the pendulum of the clock swing in directions where it never is going to swing back, my heart is troubled and alarmed at what I see in faith and what's happening all over this great nation. Folks, I gather on Tuesday afternoons with some pastors across town, and we pray over this city. We pray over these students. We are praying over this city that it will focus on God and trust in God alone. Let me tell you, America has come a long way from those early days when its leaders were quick to express their trust in God. But let me tell you, we're drifting far from the shores of what this great nation was built upon. Let me tell you, this nation was built upon Judeo-Christian principles. And even though there are those revisionists who want to rewrite all of history and leave God out of it, folks, let me tell you, the psalmist was right. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let me tell you, America, is so slowly but swiftly and surely turning its back. It's turning its back upon what its foundational principles once were. Let me tell you, you and I need to remember to trust in the Lord. Trust in Him when we don't understand. Trust in Him when maybe we, in our own fleshly, earthly minds, don't like something. You still got to tie knot and hang on to Jesus. How many people have I told that this week? Tie knot and hang on to Jesus. Tie knot and hang on to Jesus. Let me tell you, if you let go of the knot, you don't have anyone to tie knot and hang on to. Hang to Him. Lean not unto your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Third and lastly this morning, what I want us to see is remember where we came from. Remember who to trust. Remember who to thank. The people in Psalm chapter 20, they prayed that God would bless their plans and their petitions. And the central verse is verse 5. It was a confident affirmation that they would have victory long before the battle even started. And they were raising their banners and they're waving their signs of victory. Let me tell you, how can a nation plan the battle if its leaders, if its lawmakers refuse to acknowledge any kind of dependence on Almighty God? Let me tell you, the people of Israel told their king they wanted him to be listening to God so that he could plan the battle properly, and they prayed to the Lord. Let me tell you, life is filled with hurdles. Life is filled with battles. Life is filled with struggles. But let me tell you, but we'll always have victories and successes, triumphs, mountaintop experiences, valleys. But let me tell you, this nation believed at one point a deeper faith and a higher power called God. I want you to look at this picture up here as I close this morning of George Washington. It was during the heat of the battle that was going on, and let me tell you, Washington was at Valley Forge there. He had suffered defeats at Philadelphia and Germantown. His soldiers had little food. They didn't have enough clothing. The weather was cruelly cold, and the Continental Congress couldn't supply adequate supplies. They lived in crude huts. Some of the men were barefoot. Many of those soldiers died of harsh conditions, and others were too weak and too sick to fight because of the smallpox epidemic. And George Washington, he knelt. He got off of that horse that day. There in that wooded area, he knelt in the snow and he prayed to Almighty God. Let me tell you, when I read stories such as, "But times have changed in the United States." The New York State Public Schools had a simple, non-sectarian, voluntary prayer banished from its classrooms by a decision of the United States Supreme Court that it was unconstitutional. This is what the prayer said, just 22 words. "Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon Thee, and we beg Thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country." Folks, let me tell you, when prayer got taken out of the schools, when the Ten Commandments got thrown aside, God's laws, when we quit pledging the flag of allegiance, let me tell you, notice all of the things that have happened. The school shootings, crime, incredibly out there. I saw where in the state of Texas, there's a new bill out there to enlist school chaplains in the schools and to be able to post the Ten Commandments in every school throughout the state. Whether or not it will get the speed it needs and the vote it needs, I don't know. But I do know this. Chronicles says, if my people, that's Christian people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Folks, let me tell you, if we are ever going to be a nation blessed of God, protected by Almighty God, we're going to have to get back to the basics of God. I close with this. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses looked out over that crowd of Hebrew people, some million, half 2 million of those Jewish people. And he said in Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 to 14 and 19 to 20, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and it shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Moments to remember. America needs to remember where to turn, how to trust, and who to think. And folks, if America does not change America's ways, I shudder to think what God might allow to happen to worship. You see, is it religion or is it a relationship? Which is it? Going through the motions? Going through the rituals? I think it's very interesting. Brent called me to his office last Monday morning and said, hey, I want you to see what artificial intelligence did to your sermon yesterday, last Sunday morning. They divided it up in segments. They titled headings. When I shared about being saved and how to be saved and that walk in the halls of hospitals for 43 years of my life and to see about everything that you can see that will forever cause PTSD in your mind and walking down halls of hospitals for 43 years, counseling for 43 years, doing thousands of funerals for all of these years, for leading someone to Christ, for preaching, for teaching. None of that is going to get me into heaven. It's my personal relationship. Lord, I'm a sinner. You shed your blood to cover sinners' sins. And Lord, I've sinned and fallen short of your glory. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. That, his shed blood, is what is going to get me into heaven. You know how AI, titled that segment of my sermon, Insane Revelation. Well, if I'm insane, let me be insane. Amen? That's the world that you and I are living in today. Let me tell you, God, help America to come back to the roots of where it was. Let me tell you, in World War I, in the foxholes of France, let me tell you, there were very few atheists, if there were any. They knew where to turn. They knew who to turn to. My grandfather was one of those, wounded in action. His friend stepped out in front of a bayonet that was meant for him. My grandfather never got over that situation. His best friend stepped in front of the bayonet that was meant for my grandfather. He was also gassed during those days. Folks, we have no clue the price that has been paid, the blood that has been shed for America, lest we forget. Lest we forget. Let me tell you, the cross is my statue of liberty. It was there my soul was set free. I will honor our flag and our trust in God and the Statue of Liberty. Would you stand as we pray together this morning? Father God, as we remember these moments of life, God, we know where we've been, but I don't know where we're going. I just know I'm going with you. God, I pray for America this morning. Oh God, I pray for America. Oh God, I pray that you would draw us back, that you would bring us back, where we have to look up and remember who's in charge, that you rule in the kingdoms of men. Father, thank you for this day, this weekend, what it means. But I pray, oh God, that in our hearts, that we would remember who to thank, who to trust, where we've been, where we're going. Oh God, help us, I pray, in Christ's name.